It is Friday, November 5th, 2004. Hey, you know what? It's the 10th show, and that means absolutely nothing. I just thought I'd share that. But today, I want to share briefly my tales of voting woe. We'll also get into the first ever Radio Engineering 101. It's going to be really fun. And as always, I have been busy with work, and I know that is no excuse, but I have somewhat of an excuse, but not good enough of an excuse to not be bringing you more podcasts, and I'll tell you why in a little bit, and we'll chit-chat, and I'll tell you another one of my wonderful stories of all that fun hoo-ha that I call life. I tell ya, the more and more that I get older, the more I realize how cursed I am. I'm going to bring you this first track right now, though, by a Mr. Man known as John Vanderslice. And this song is called Bill Gates Must Die on Radio Zoom.
Things keep pouring out of my machine. I just typed a word and I just pressed return. Someone made this easy, made this inevitable. So for bringing me here, Bill Gates must die. Just don't say I'll never make it back intact. Teeny tiny little things keep pouring out of my machine. Just don't say I'll never make it back intact.
The album Mass Suicide Occult Figurines, John Vanderslice with the song Bill Gates Must Die, and I hope that all of you geeks out there just got your rocks off on that one. He's got a lot of great tunes. That just happened to be the one that I thought that would be mass appealing to you, because if you want to find out more information about him, johnvanderslice.com. Yes, that's his real name. And he's a great artist. I've seen him a couple times. I saw him once since down at South by Southwest, and he's played in town here at Gabe's. And I was going to mention Gabe's, and then I just kind of thought, you know, I should tell you a little bit about, just a tiny bit, because you have to experience Gabe's to really appreciate it. It's kind of the CBGBs of where I live, of Iowa City, and it's one of a kind. It's truly a biker bar. I've only heard of one time, well, a true story, at least, okay, somebody I can actually believe that actually had a knife pulled on him at a show. And the crazy part was, because Gabe's is two levels. Downstairs is the bar, upstairs is the dark, dingy, well, it's all dark and dingy, but upstairs is more dark and dingy and dirty and just such full of rock goodness. But the some random guy standing there next to my friend Ben, he just kind of turned around and he whips out this knife and he goes, "I just wanted to show you, I have this." Turned around and walked off into the crowd watching the show up by the stage. That's Gabe's. And I love Gabe's. I've seen a lot of good shows there. I could list it, but I won't take the time to do that right now. But John Vanderslice was that artist, and hopefully you enjoyed that, and I'll be bringing you some more artists that I thoroughly love and enjoy here in a little bit. First things first, though, I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a reasoning behind my excuse. I told you the story in a previous episode about how I hit my head and gave myself a concussion. Well, my luck just keeps going. I had the pleasure of unloading the new transmitter that we got for our FM station. We're in the midst of a digital conversion. Yes, digital HD radio. HD radios, we're in the midst of it. We're going to take an AM and an FM up to the digital, and we got the FM in yesterday, and in order to get it off of the truck that we brought it in on, we didn't kind of compensate for the fact that this thing weighed about 1,000 pounds. So when we got it onto the truck, it was down about 2 feet from the dock that we needed to get up onto to get it inside the building, but that was just too heavy, so we decided to take the power supply out of the bottom of it, and the power supply on this thing weighs about 300 pounds. So once we got that out of there, we were able, five of us actually, we were able to lift the remainder of the box and get it up onto the loading dock and getting that inside the building. Now, when it came time for the power supply, that was a little more tricky because you just can't pick that thing up. There's a lot of pieces on there that will break, so we kind of had to... It was on some rollers. We had to scoot it along, and we were bringing it up to, or bringing off this loading pallet, or what is it, the paddle jack, you know? And we're gonna slide it onto some planks, some wooden planks, some 2x12s, and slide it up onto the deck and get it inside. And so we were pushing, and I was lifting and pushing, and about right that moment, it slipped, and 300 pounds of pure pressure went across my left hand, and that hurt. I screamed, and from I really don't remember it. I do remember saying a lot of bad words, but I supposedly I started out kind of quiet, and then I guess my voice was just echoing throughout the entire back of this truck, and it hurt. And I went and got X-rays today. Nothing's broken. But my left index finger is really swollen, and my knuckles are cut up on my middle and index finger on top of my hand. So it's been a pretty crazy last 36 hours, kind of high on ibuprofen right now. I was icing it earlier while I was kind of putting the show together. So it's working. It's operating. I got pretty limited use. I can type and stuff, but aside from that, I can't lift anything. So forgive me. I've been busy, and this happened Thursday afternoon. I actually kind of thought maybe I could put something together or get something out there on Thursday, but it's just, you know how life goes. Things just kind of happen, and 5 minutes can change the course of weeks in your life. It's, I'm sure you've been through that before. So just to kind of reward you for sticking with me and understanding my busy, hectic schedule, and I appreciate those of you that are always looking for my podcast to come out. I love hearing from you. So hopefully you hear this and you'll hear some rock goodness on this episode, just like on this song. I love these guys. It's Hum. Yes. I'll tell you more in a little bit. Radio Zoom.
Pinhole cap.
Album Downward is Heavenward. They are from Champaign, Illinois. That was Hum with the song The Scientists. Hum, it has to be one of my, probably the most favorite band that I've ever loved. That's the best way I can really sum it up. They are no longer together. They have split off into some separate projects. They did get together for a reunion show last summer, or maybe last year. Maybe that's what it was. I can't quite remember completely. But so they don't hate each other, which is good, because maybe someday they'll put out more music together. But they've split off into a couple different projects. Matt Talbot, lead singer, Centaur. Excuse me. Centaur is his new project now. Centaur. And then Tim, the guitar player, took off and started Glyphted. They put out one album, but if you go to their website, you just kind of get We'll Be Back Soon. So I don't know if they're taking a long hiatus forever, but Tim and Matt's a great songwriter, and Tim is an amazing guitar player, probably one of the most influential guitar players out there today. You'll hear a lot of his stylings and a lot of different music that are out there. And I don't know if he's the most original type of guy, but he's just awesome. He's a great, great guitar player. And I missed my only chance to see them because I had an exam the next morning when they played in town here. And this is when I had only heard of them. I had heard that they were good. You should go check this out, dude. One of those things. And I was willing to sacrifice that, because I did ask this girl that lived on the 10th floor, because I live on the 7th floor of my dorm, but she had to check into it and never called me back. She was pretty cool. We had things in common. We liked kind of the same music and bands and type of stuff, and that's how things kind of go, I guess. I always like to compare things to, like, that song, Move to Bremerton, by MXPX. I'm a sucker for a girl with a pretty smile. She's got to have ideas, and she's got to have style. Yeah, I'm a sucker. Anyway, let's see. November 2nd. A lot of people are up and or down about this one, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing, except I had quite the fiasco just trying to cast my ballot, and I was going to kind of share that story, because I told you in previous episode, I am registered, and I was going to vote, and I did vote. However, what started, sometime around 11:30 in the morning, it took me until about 3:30 that afternoon to actually get my ballot casted. Maybe it was 3 o'clock. I don't remember. It seemed like it took forever, and I went to my polling place, where I normally went to go vote in, the presidential elections, midterm elections, school board elections, bond issues, blah, blah, blah. I went there, and they weren't voting there. They weren't voting where my registration card said, and that's fine. They renovated the library. They changed it. So I went back and found out where I was supposed to vote in my district, the district that I'm registered to vote in. I went down there. And I filled out the little entrance paper, and they take that from you, and they start looking through the book and make sure that you are who you are. And there's my name. Cool. But we got to check the master list. Okay. So they check the master list, and then he looks at my permanent address, and I moved some months ago. And he looks at me, and he's like, oh, you can't vote here. I'm looking at my name in two books in front of me. I asked somebody when I came in, I explained my situation. I've moved out of this district, but I'm still registered to vote here. Can I vote here? And this guy said, yeah. Of course, I don't think he was actually had a clue what was going on. But this guy suddenly says, you can't vote here. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? And luckily, it was an easy change, but I had to drive 20 minutes back to my, like half a mile away from where I live at my apartment, and then I had to go cast my ballot all the way over here. No big deal, right? Well, I have nothing against the elderly, but they were slow. They were so painfully slow looking through the master list. How do you spell your name? So I spent probably 15 minutes waiting just to get my ballot. And then I got my ballot. I went over there and suddenly a group of younger than me, because I'm getting old, come in and they start filling out their ballot. And my assumption is they seem like high school kids, seem like they're first time voters, and somebody made a mistake. And oh no. The group of people in charge of this place get together in a bit of a huddle. And in the meantime, I'm standing there with my filled out ballot. I've taken probably at this point at least 2.5 hours out of my work day to try to get this figured out. I'm frustrated. I'm a little ticked off. And I'm waiting and waiting. And finally, this guy wanders over and turns back around, goes back to the table. And I'm just kind of like, I want to get rid of my ballot. I want to cast my vote. I want to go back to work. So finally, he comes over and goes, what are you waiting for? I'm sitting here with this thing that says secret ballot in my hand. I'm like, I wanted to give this to the right person. So finally, he goes, oh yeah, it goes in here. And then he goes through the motions, goes into the little sucking paper machine thing and goes off into voting land. And finally, I'm like, my God, I can get out of here. And I go outside. And I was so frustrated with the whole situation that I told the really cute exit polling girl that I really had to go get back to work, because I was sick and tired of it all. Even though she was cute, I was just like, nope, I don't want it. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to go and leave. And what I really did is I went and got myself a nice frosty chocolate milkshake, and it was the best milkshake ever. Best voting milkshake ever. And the lesson has been learned, and the next time I will not be so stupid and phone ahead, do research on the web and all that fun stuff. But they changed the laws on me, and it was just, they always told me growing up, go to where you registered, go to where, what, you know, what it says on the back of your registration card. And that's exactly what I did. Followed the rules, and then that just went downhill from there. So not the most enjoyable experience. Hopefully next time the results will be better and my experience will be better. And this next song I'm going to play for you, I work for an NPR news station, and I hear this, the NPR uses this for their fills sometimes, and maybe you've caught it and you'll recognize this as soon as I play it, but this way you're going to get a chance to hear the entire song. So this is The Mates of State. This is Radio Zoom. Thank you. That was off of their album, Our Constant Concern. That was The Mates Estate with the song I Know and I Said Forget It. And like I said, they sometimes use that on National Public Radio as fill music, at least just the beginning part. And it always pains me because it's such a good song that they cut it off and then they come back on with depressing news. And I'm like, no, I want to hear Mates Estate, dude. That rocks. But you can find out more about them, matesestate.com. I've seen them perform at Gabe's. Another good show at Gabe's. Also, I saw that with my friend Ben that I mentioned before, and he was pretty drunk, but he turned around and made a very good observation is that there's only two people on stage. Where's all that sound coming from? There's only two people in that band. She plays keyboards, he plays drums, and they're married. That's pretty cool. You know, kind of Mates Estate. They're from, I don't even know where they're from. I've been told many things, and I've always been told that I'm wrong, so I'm not going to go there. But she is just cute. I could just stand there and just drool all day long watching her play those keyboards. Anyhow, we're going to do this for the first time. I'm going to bring you what I like to call Radio Engineering 101. And this is going to, a little bit about what this is it's an insider's look as to the technology that drives radio. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes look. Some of this might be fascinating to you. Some of it might, might be kind of boring. But so many people are talking about podcasting and all that fun stuff and the technology that's behind it and what drives it and what drives us all and crack. Okay, maybe not crack, but I've been listening to, like, the Radio Brothers podcast, and they talk about, programming and aspects of all that fun stuff. And I thought, well, let's go even further into that and let's talk about what drives the technology that drives radio. So the first thing that I wanted to kind of look at, or just kind of talk about and kind of educate you about, are automation systems, because I've heard the Radio Brothers talk about this. And let's start out with, what is an automation system? And it's exactly as it sounds. It's a lot like your MP3 player playlist, iTunes playlist, Winamp, whatever it is that you use. It's radio on autopilot, except there is no human even near the cockpit. Because radio has become so automated in some markets that entire days of programming can be recorded days to weeks in advance. And the beauty of the system is how it tricks you. And this includes even the weather, because someone can come in and voice track an entire air shift many hours, many days in advance. They can get everything that they need to do, coming out of songs, ramping in and out of songs, which is, introducing or telling you what you just heard, telling you about something that's going on in town. Hey, check out blah, 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 blah. This is Zass, blah, 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 blah. All that stuff, all that hoo-ha radio talk that Adam Curry does really well. But they can do this and pre-record it in advance, and then they just kind of slide it in because everything's pre-programmed. All the music's stored in there. And we're not talking about album after album after album in terms of CDs and stored music. No, we're just talking about the prime cuts that are the hot singles, depending on the format, as to what will make the station sell. Because ultimately, they're trying to make money. Everybody is. Now, someone can pre-record major portions of these shows or these shifts, and they can drop in weather forecasts. They can pre-record the major portions days to weeks in advance, but then they can come in and drop the weather forecasts in a day or just a few hours before the actual shift runs. And these people are, so good at this in terms of these, making these automation systems, that you can actually record all sorts of cuts for the weather, and then the system takes in a data feed telling the computer what it's like outside, saying, okay, it's 68 degrees and sunny outside. And then it can play the corresponding sound cut it'll make you think that you're actually hearing a human sitting in the control room, looking out the window, looking at the thermometer. So it will say, okay, pull up the cut that says it's 68 degrees outside and it's sunny. That's how good these systems can be. And you ask, why do we want to fool you? Why should you even use an automation system? Well, it's cheaper. You can spend less hours, putting all this time into the product when it can just automatically be generated for you. You just slide what you need. Oops, hit the mic. Talking with my arms. Oh, yeah. But you can just slide this audio cut where you need to go. It's all there. It's laid out for you. And it's less staffing time, less time you have to pay for someone to be there, and people can wear more hats. Your traffic manager might be the AM drive time guy. Your production director might be the afternoon drive time girl. Lots of different things that you can do, and this is where the example of a guy in Seattle can voice track for San Francisco or Chicago. And, a lot of people hear that and don't understand how that works, but maybe you can kind of see that now. I'm kind of explaining this briefly hopefully it's just kind of coming at you that you can kind of understand how this all works. And it basically works off the same principle of podcasting, because you're sending audio files over radio station intranets. You make the cut and you zip it up the pipe. Guy in Seattle sends it from there over the internet to the station in Chicago where it needs to go to. It's very interesting and fascinating that they can do that, but it's kind of scary too. And these can be great tools, but as we're finding with podcasting, the human element is still the best thing that there is. I like listening to the Radio Brothers. I like listening to Jason over Hardcore Insomnia. I like a lot of things. It's that human element, the possibility for error, but at the same time, local content. Local content will always be the best way radio can compete in any market, because Mr. Seattle, he's not going to have the same thoughts or feelings of a person living and working in San Francisco or Chicago. He's not going to have to deal with the harsh winter of what Chicago deals with compared to Seattle, or all the rain that Seattle deals with, and the sweltering heat that we have in the Midwest. And at the same time, when you get into certain parts of Chicago, it's not Chicago, it's Chicago. That's what I'm talking about. You can't get that, or up in Wisconsin. That always kills me, because it's not Wisconsin. Of course, that's how I say it, being where I've raised, but it's Wisconsin. Wisconsin. You can't beat that stuff. It's local content. It's how it is. Somebody just told me recently that I have an accent, which I do. I don't really see it, but of course the person that told me this is from Canada, and she listens in once in a while. Hi, lady. But that local feeling, you're never gonna beat it, no matter what you're doing. You're not gonna beat what pertains to the area that you're actually hearing this stuff in. So that wraps up that brief edition of my first Radio Engineering 101. And we'll do more of this. Like I said, we're going through a digital conversion where I'm working at, and I have this theory of what's going on with podcasting and the digital conversion of radio. I kind of have a theory that I'll document sometime that, I'll tell you how I kind of feel it's going to mesh at some point through the same radio waves that I work with and the podcasting that I'm doing right now. Now, I want to play you one last song before we part. Oh, such bittersweetness. But Shiner is the next band I'm going to play for you, and they are a... Well, let me tell you this brief story. They were going to play in Iowa City probably about 2 years ago, and huge Shiner fan. Well, the first thing that sold it to me was they're from Kansas City, and they were coming to town, and so I arranged an interview with them before they went to go play their show at Gabe's, and I was so excited, so excited, and they were a no-show. They never called me for the interview, so I thought, oh, great, they stood me up. Thanks, guys. I like you, too. And I ended up actually falling asleep waiting for the phone call. I was taking a nap, and I just slept through it. So I was all sad. And then about a week or so later, Alan Epley, lead singer of Shiner, calls me up, leaves me a voicemail. And he's like, I really apologize for not showing up, but here's what happened. We were driving down, and our engine block split in half, probably about four hours away from Iowa City. And I was, oh, that sucks. So they spent the night at a hotel, towed the van back to Kansas City, and then they re-rented another van. They had another show the next night in Omaha. They were driving up to Omaha, and they hit a deer. And that was just a bad string of luck. And then 2 weeks later, they broke up. So that was the end of Shiner. They put about three albums out, maybe four, switched a drummer, added a guitar player, and since then, Shiner has ended. No hard feelings there because they've split off into two different side projects, two different completely new projects, The Great Fire of 1666. You can find more out about them, fireof1666.net. fireof1666.net, and The Life of Time, or The Life and Time, sorry, lifeandtimes.com is the place to find out more about that. So they're no longer together, but I want to play you this one song that I absolutely love by them. I saw them twice before they broke up down at South by Southwest again. I missed them, and I hope that someday, maybe they'll get back together. Oh, another quick interesting note, the first drummer for Shiner quit, moved out to California, and is now the drummer for Ken Andrews in his band Year of the Rabbit. That's not why I like these guys. It's just kind of the incestual luck that I have with some of the guys that are some of the music that I like. So I know I talk about Ken Andrews on Failure, Auto Lux, all that fun stuff. But wrap this up and play this last song. The song's off of their album, The Egg. It's called Play Dead, and this has been another edition of Radio Zoom. We'll check you later. Adios. Weekly Zoom Podcast is a product of the Otterhertz.net web blog. Send all your thoughts and comments to john@otterhertz.net. You can also check out more on the web, otterhertz.net.